Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh, we're done. We're done. That's it. I begin the program by saying goodbye. We're done. The season is over. Everything else from here forward is exhibition. If only we had a playoff. If only.
Well, we have the bowl games, and you know, that's just an excuse for fans to get to see teams that wouldn't otherwise be able to make the long and arduous railway journey to come play on the West Coast or down south or something. It's sort of an exhibition where we, like you said, where we get to see, oh, that's what a Michigan looks like. That's cool. It's a really fun, consequenceless way for us to just, you know, enjoy the sport and just sort of kind of treat it like a traveling magic show, you know? The Siegfried and Roy, almost. Except not without all the mauling.
Do you think people in the 20s had that level of curiosity about other teams? For instance, when Alabama traveled to UCLA, did they say, oh my God, they have navels? Yeah, I didn't expect them to, but they have navels just like we do.
First of all, I don't know why you think that football then or now involves that much looking at belly buttons, but sure.
How they banned the half jersey over right. The past decades or so. I mean, that's, you extrapolate that back 100 years, I believe that 100 years ago jerseys barely even covered the nipples.
That's true. There is a whole deleted chapter from The Great Gatsby where they're all just running around in half jerseys tackling each other.
At that point they basically were just wearing like necklaces for jerseys. They had yet to grow even past their collarbones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is my shock collar, if you will. It prevents me from suffering concussions and other jostlings of the brain and brain caseular areas. Yeah, that's, I think, what I was trying to get at is, we do have a playoff.
Oh.
And we're going to talk. We're going to talk.
Why didn't you just fucking say so? Why you got to be all fancy dancy? With God, just say it. We have a playoff. Thanks, jerk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got one. And does it have some controversy? Oh, lo, dear listener. Does it have a minor degree of controversy?
I guess.
It does.
It has the most manufactured controversy possible.
Imagine a small slice of the Rust Belt determining the course of a vast enterprise. Imagine.
Are you trying to say the state of Pennsylvania got mad and everybody else had to put up with it?
And we all have to each shit for it. Put
the actual state champs in. How about
Pitt v. Yeah. Temple national championship game right there. Panthers Owls.
Bunch of grumpy looking white guys with goatees and sweatshirts. Let's do it.
Spelly, he didn't mean that.
I did. joining us via belated introduction.
Wait, yeah. Why are you even bothering? But go ahead.
I gotta let the people know.
People have to know who's responsible for what's happening.
I am damn proud to do this program every week.
Thank you, Les Miles.
With Jason Kirk, live from Kennesaw, Georgia.
Hey, what's happening? I am shocked and bewildered and stunned that a two-loss team that lost a game by 39 points didn't make the playoff. This is a gross injustice. Man, I can't even imagine. What are we saying here? Like, what next? Are you going to say a team can, you know, lose a game by 35 points and not make the playoff? Slippery slope here.
Yes. Thank you for introducing the worst of all rhetorical arguments, the slippery slope, in the first 5 minutes of the program. I appreciate that. It's all downhill from here.
That's how the slippery slope works.
Exactly. We just see it's real. It's real. Don't lie. Don't laugh at it. The other person joining us, that'd be Ryan Nanny, who I told we had a playoff. Congratulations. We have a playoff, Ryan.
I assume Florida's in it. I fell asleep in summer 2008, and you know, I'm just, well, let me back up. Urban Meyer's in it.
Yes,
the playoff,
Urban Meyer's in it.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. You're good. You're good.
So
yeah, one proviso, one bit of clarification for that. Yeah. Florida's not in the playoff.
Huh.
We are the opposite of in the playoff. We're out of the playoff. Yeah. More fun on that. We played the SEC championship game.
Well, that's good.
It shouldn't be mentioned. Yeah, it's good. We won the East. Funny story. Yeah, and then we had to play Alabama in the midst of an 8-year run through one of the greatest streaks of college football performance.
Well, I'm sure it was a back and forth brawl. Both teams played hard.
There was a blocked extra point that ran back after Alabama went fourth.
There was some fourth. There was a lot of fourth.
Yeah.
Like fourth downs.
Hmm.
Fourth downs, fourth interception, fourth sack.
Huh.
And then numbers past that. Many, many numbers past that. Numbers aren't the most important way to determine the course of a football game. It's really about effort. And Alabama certainly won this game. They certainly are owed all the respect. It doesn't matter. I can't even continue this. It doesn't. Whatever Alabama's doing on the football field right now is so far and above and so unreminiscent of any other college football team that it almost doesn't matter. Almost.
I do like the idea of just giving Bama the title and having a playoff just for fun between four teams that we just want to see play each other. That sounds so far superior.
I mean, this is like, it's like this. If you ever, have you ever gone to the gym or lifted weights with a friend who lifts easily 100 to 200 pounds more than you do? It's just, there's no reason to do it, right? This is what we have to do, Bama. We have to wait for you to finish bench pressing, okay?
Hey, can you clear your rack, please? Sorry.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know how long it takes to, you know, you're doing reps at 400,
I'm just
right?
going to be
you're
over doing, on the Cybex. I'll see you later.
It's no fun. It's just not. And it's not even a matter of feeling bad about our
pool.
It's not a matter of like finding our own weights and taking them. Oh no, it just takes too long. Whatever you're doing, it's different than what everyone else is doing. So I can't.
I'm just gonna take an extra long shower.
So why don't we just say? Why don't we just say the playoff is the teams as constituted, except Bama. They have to start. The second string has to play. They have to. The first stringers. If you were a first string on Alabama this season, you don't get to play. And then if for some reason we get to the national, you know, we get through the playoff and somebody beats the second string, then it's sort of like in a Zelda game. It's like, okay, well, now you get to play the real Bama. Oh, you thought you killed him, huh? Nah, that was a weak, sad, fat Bama. This is the real one. It's got a sword made of other swords. Look out.
Junior Bama. NFL Europe Bama. The Barcelona Dragons Bama. That's what we want.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's entirely fair. Because otherwise, it's boring. It sucks.
It's pretty boring.
No one else is enjoying it.
So if we just gave Bama the title now, who would be our super fun 14 playoff?
Yeah, let's
would
go.
Would we have the three left over plus one or what?
There's nobody of the other three I would throw out right now.
Okay. Yeah. So would we add Penn State, Western Michigan? I mean, let's see. Western Michigan has lost zero games. That's fewer than two, in my opinion.
Listen. Obviously, the playoff is not about wins and losses. Come on.
That's true. Because if it were, if it were about conference championships, we'd have Penn State in, mm-hmm. right? They'd be cruising. They'd be right there. Because Big Ten, that's an important conference. That's one of the best conferences in the nation. Probably the best conference in the nation.
I wish you just left it at that. One of the best conferences in the nation. Because that's true.
Arguably and a top five conference.
I'd say it's definitely one of the five best conferences in the country. Because every Big Ten fan has gotten it in their heads that their conference is just no doubt, hands down, the best. And I mean, every time I see that, I'm like looking around like this. Did we all vote on this or something? I don't understand.
We did. Yep.
Like your conference has Rutgers, Purdue, Michigan State. I could go on. You have all these garbage teams soaking up losses. So sure, you got some teams with good records, but I don't look like.
Every chessboard has pawns. Every chessboard has pawns. Check out these queens, bitch.
The Big Ten is good. So is the ACC. The SEC is, it's got Bama in it. But, like, the Big Ten.
I ask you, best
conference.
I'll dispute that. Yeah, don't throw out the un. I'm going to take that off. If I'm putting together a 14 playoff right now, by the way,
yeah,
it'd be Washington, it'd be Clemson. It'd probably be Ohio State. It'd probably be Penn State. I'm okay with that. If you got a different alignment, cool. I'd love to hear it. I'm sure it's fine. These are lukewarm takes, and we are spitting them out with ferocity. Okay, because you know what? You could probably build another pretty good four-team playoff without including those four teams.
Okay, let's say your goal is not the lofty. Oh, let's put in the most deserving. Just give me the four teams playing at a reasonably high level that it's not laughable to put them in the playoff that you just think this would be the most fun four team playoff to watch. Because if we're doing it that way, I'm putting Oklahoma in there. I know Oklahoma lost to Houston, and I know they got killed by Ohio State at home. Oklahoma the last like month and a half has been a super fun team to watch.
I think the remaining three plus Penn State, those are all really fun teams. Every Clemson game comes down to some drama. Penn State, their entire offense is just, fuck it, I'm going deep.
There are a lot of Clemson games that are fun for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Clemson games you're like, holy shit, that's a naked guy in the mall. Like, I guess that's fun in the sense that it's different, but it's not right.
Whether the roller coaster is supposed to go off the course or not, it's still memorable.
This is every Clemson game. Watch it. It really is. Every Clemson game is this. It is an extremely fast but slightly overweight athlete running, sprinting, getting out to a real fast start, and then remembering, oh, this isn't a half marathon, is it?
I ate a whole Reuben right before this. Oh no!
Good thing I drank an extra milkshake for endurance.
The sauerkraut, it's curdling in my belly. I could feel it.
A big fat Clemson.
talented Clemson. But let's be honest, about 15 pounds too heavy to be doing this recreational marathon, okay?
Big, fat, talented Clemson,
just getting out to all kinds of, like, up to fucktigazite on mile 13 when they're like, I'm gonna need a bathroom pretty soon.
Big old jolly Clemson.
What I love about Clemson is that, so they forced 24 turnovers this year. Their defense is really good. You would think that forcing 24 turnovers, almost to a game, would put you in great shape in terms of turnover margin. And nope, it's got them exactly at zero. Everything the defense does, the offense has been to undo something the offense has done, basically.
That's like generous lovers.
Uh-huh. Again, this is part of Dabo's brand of Christ-like football, giveth and taketh.
That's right. The last shall be first. The fumble shall be recovered and lost.
The new romantics once said, you only get what you give. And Clemson has given 24 and gotten 24. It's amazing.
That's a clean checkbook right there. That's how you know. That's how you know Clemson's not cheating. Look at the balance sheet.
Check it all out and balance this budget.
I think you'll see this is all perfectly clean.
Clemson's laundering footballs.
Now, can I take a few more liberties? I'm going to loosen that wins and losses, and I'm just going to give you teams that I thought by November.
Yeah.
By October, November. Teams that were absolutely beating ass, okay, and were just, yeah, you know, really,
so you're,
fun.
You're going to say USC, which is fine.
Hell yes, I'm going to say USC.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? They were absolutely fantastic down the stretch, and nobody wanted anything to do with them. I'd take Oklahoma in that. You know what? Hell, we've kind of been joking about it. I don't think I've been joking. Put Pitt in.
Give me my LSU Bengal Tigers in there.
Oh yeah, no. You want Ed Orgeron in that playoff?
What's a playoff without Coach O?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and think about it this way: this is the interim playoff that we're appointing. It's only appropriate that Ed Orgeron be in it, being the dean of interim coaches.
That seems right. That seems totally right. Florida State also down the stretch. I mean, Clemson game was close. Game they could have won. Had some calls I know that Florida State fans didn't like. Florida State is a team that I'm going to say if they played Washington right now, I'm not confidently saying, oh, Washington's definitely winning that game.
No, not at all. Especially given what you've seen out of Jake Browning in the passing game under pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, considering they had problems under pressure with Colorado, which people are going to say that. They're going to go, oh, did you see Washington against Colorado? That's from people who haven't been watching them all year long. Colorado's had a really good defense. They put a lot of pressure on people.
Well, and if you want to talk about a team that turned it around late, that, you know, turned it on when it mattered, looked like they weren't going to get, it looked like bowl eligibility was going to be just on the sliver, put Kentucky in. Fuck it, man.
Shit, well, let's put in the Miami, Ohio Red Hawks. Started 0-6, finished 6-0.
That's true.
Down the stretch.
One of the longest winning. They've got a longer winning streak than Ohio State, right?
Yeah, also, if we're playing this Lego game style, where you can change into any character at any moment.
Right.
Right? I think if you could just morph into Navy for a quarter or two, that'd be great. If you could just morph into Navy just to scare the living hell out of whoever you're playing.
Yeah,
that would be it.
Except Temple.
Except Temple. We'll leave that in there. Yeah. Or even South Florida.
I just fucking figured it out. Mm. What we do is we combine Temple, Pitt, and Penn State into some sort of Pennsylvania Voltron, and that's the team you don't want to play in the playoff.
That's a good fucking team. If you can run like Pitt, throw like Penn State.
Pencil Voltron. And
just have the grititude of Temple.
Oh my god, just eating all the like C quality meat products you can find? Good god.
The Lords of Scrapple.
Why is it full of French fries? It's better that way.
Has anyone ever actually said, no, it's undisputed. It's the undisputed best sandwich because we put fries and Scrapple in it. Mm.
That's what we should have given Penn State the option of doing, saying at the end, like, listen, before we need you to decide before the Big Ten championship game, do you want to continue this game? Do you want to continue the playoff pursuit by yourselves, or would you like to join forces and ally with one or both of Temple and Pitt?
Oh no, this is great, because this is like every scene in a movie where they're like, you know, we've been rivals, but to beat this, we've got to team up. This is actually a real good strategy for actually being competitive against Bama.
It's also good because if you give Florida State this option, they only take USF.
That's true.
Take like a Florida defender or two, and
we'll take your field goal kicker.
Yeah, well, maybe your punter. We'll take your punter.
Yeah, maybe. Even then, I was looking last night. Somebody asked me, you know, where is Florida actually better than Alabama? And I thought for a second, very carefully, and was like, field goal kicker. And somebody goes, what about punter? Nope.
Nope.
Actually, Bama's punter's awesome. Mm-hmm. Nick recruited that. So just in case you wanted one more thing, like, oh yeah, well I bet they don't have a punt. They do. They have a punter.
They can punt.
Yeah, this is an actual.
They ain't gonna hit a field goal, but they can punt.
An actual headline today, NAL.com was Alabama worried about replacing their holder. What am I supposed to do with that?
Oh my god.
Like what?
Man, they got problems.
These are the details that you obsess over.
I don't know, man. I don't know if Nick's the guy for this job. Can't find a holder.
Meanwhile, like the team like Florida worried about getting in field goal range.
Yeah, Florida worried about everything.
I mean, in some ways, I would consider quarterback to be a holder position at Florida. So,
yeah, holding the ball, holding the ball for quite some time. Look at him holding it.
I do want to acknowledge that the playoff this year really accomplished one thing, and that's to just make Bob Bowlesby fucking mad as shit. Like he. I appreciate that he's sort of like, okay, we've absorbed the lessons of the first 2 years of the college football playoff. It's clear that having the extra data point and having a clear, unquestioned conference champion is of value. We also understand that you need to play strong out-of-conference opponents, and so we're making sure we've scheduled those. And so we're making all of this happen. Wait, what? What's that? Oh, none of it's true. Oh, it's all a lie. I see. Well, thank you.
See, that's Bob Bowlesby's, it feels like the constant mistake by the Big 12 is assuming that everyone else has a plan, is a grown-up, isn't just making it all up as they go along. Like, I think the Big 12 itself has that identity, but the Big 12 thinks that it is the chaotic element here and everyone else has it all together. No. Everyone else is just as disorganized as you, Big 12. They just don't make as big a show of it. So, when the Big 12 says, "Well, I thought they told us you have to have a 13th game." I mean, Oklahoma just made it in last year. Do you not remember that?
Well, they also, the other conferences. I mean, you already pointed out the bottom of the Big 10, very, very, very bottom. It's really nice when you get to just say, yes, we have to play Rutgers because they're part of the conference and that's how the division works. And you don't have it's for some reason, that's a different argument for a Penn State than it is for a Washington who affirmatively scheduled a Rutgers, even though it's the same shitty fucking team. Like the idea.
Right, when they scheduled Rutgers, it was during the Greg Schiano era. As far as they knew, Rutgers would be a 9-win team this year.
Like Washington scheduled Rutgers. I'm guessing it's a home and home. I don't actually know, but they schedule them for a limited amount of time. The Big Ten East scheduled Rutgers forever, forever.
For what? To get that
easy dub, man. No, that's the brilliance of it is that we can talk about TV markets and blah blah blah, but they expand the conference, and now when you like. Nobody looks at it and says, oh, well, we should devalue Ohio. You know, Ohio State's record isn't what it appears to be because Rutgers isn't a Power 5 quality team. That's true, but nobody says it, and it doesn't matter. It's great.
It's Jim Delaney winning again, baby. Winning again. Which, by the way, in this weekend, I enjoy that Florida and Alabama go out and stage, I don't want to say snuff film
those are over quicker.
Yeah, this I don't know what that was. Mismatch is too kind.
Did you watch the whole thing? You did. Why are you doing that? It's 2016. Like, you have all the information you could possibly have and you keep putting your hand on the stove and leaving it there. Why?
I don't know. Maybe
there wasn't anything else on.
Maybe there was that. That's true. Although I will say, the minute I could, oh yeah, we put Wyoming San Diego State on.
Okay.
The minute we could watch Craig Bull, who looks exactly like Mr. Magoo, freezing in 19-degree weather on the sidelines, and watch Donnell Pumphrey's last hurrah, yeah, we put that on as soon as we could. But I watched almost all of it.
God.
Because I need to see it at the bottom. I need to see it at the bottom of the bottom. because one of two things will happen. Either I will be able to say definitively, no, this is worse.
Right.
Right. When the next bottom happens, and I could say, no, I watched that. I was there for UF Nebraska. I was there for this.
You were there for Florida, Missouri.
I was there for Florida, Missouri. I am at all of the new lows for this program. And I want to be the authority on that. Because one day I have hope. And I don't think hope's a fool's errand. It's a little foolish. But I don't think it's a total fool's errand because one day this football program will be good again. There were too many stupid people willing to write very large checks in order to watch relatively meaningless games bend their way. Okay? Also, this program's unafraid to cheat. So one day we will get back in the limelight. We will be back in said high life.
This is a really inspiring soliloquy you've got going here.
Thank you. I'm gonna keep going. Okay? So yeah, that's why I watch it. And yeah, we're gonna be good again. And is it gonna be with Jim McElwain? No. I think that sailed, son. I think any hope you might have had of this being some dynamic turnaround, that's done. This program isn't even on the same level as it's not that, we're not on the same level as Alabama. We're not close to LSU. I know we beat them, but in terms of like the kind of talent and the pipeline we can get, no, we're not quite there. That game was a little bit of a red herring. We're not there. Not even close. So yeah, that's why I watch, because
let's talk about any of these other, please. Talk about the ACC championship game. Talk about that.
I wanted to talk about what a winner Jim Delaney was, by the way, because that game, along with the ACC championship game, turned the hell around fast. Because it looked like a blowout coming. Wisconsin got out to the most dangerous lead in football, which is 21 points. Never get out to a 21-point lead. Stay on 14. Go straight to 24 or 28 if you can. But never 21. Because that's the easiest way to let your opponent back into the game. And that's exactly what Wisconsin did. And then Penn State blew up. That game went back and forth. And Trace McSorley was out of his mind, throwing blind TDs. That was a delight to watch.
Yeah. The playoff committee really dodged a couple of bullets here at the end of those games, because I honestly don't know what they do if Clemson loses to Virginia Tech. I think it was easy for them to be like, yes, Penn State is 5 and Michigan is 6, and that's because, you know, Penn State was the Big Ten champion, et cetera, et cetera. I'm less confident that's what they would have done had they been faced with the decision of which of these two teams are we putting into the playoff and not just giving the honorary of first runner up.
Going on the ACC championship game, I do not think I have seen an outmatched team play with the kind of intensity I saw Virginia Tech play with. It was very clear. You're like, oh, this team is not as talented as this Clemson team, and they paid no mind to that whatsoever. It was so cool to watch. Like, that team played their whatever body part you want off. Any of them.
Haunches,
dude, played their ample mountain haunches off in that game. So much fun to watch, even though like the math kept getting worse and worse for them. And they did not care.
Didn't care.
It was no. Like you see teams continue to play hard, but not with a whole lot of conviction, right? like Florida was kind of like that. Like, Florida continued to play hard. They knew it wasn't this wasn't going any.
Oh yeah,
good.
Florida was absolutely the ENT who's like, yep, chest compressions. 1, 2, 3, clear. Yep. Oh, we lost him.
Well, imagine we lost an 87-year-old man in cardiac arrest. Oh, guess we'll have to call it in. Call it. Yeah.
Go Gators.
But yeah, that was it. Not Virginia Tech, no.
Virginia Tech I feel confident Virginia Tech's the team that we're going to look at when we start to preview next season and be like, wait, what the fuck did they do last? How did they? This 9-4? Are you kidding me? because none of it makes sense. On the whole,
lost to Syracuse?
Not lost to Syracuse. Lost like pretty decisively to Syracuse.
Blown out.
Was sloppy as hell against Tennessee and lost. Lost by 10 to Georgia Tech. Everybody else, like, it's just, but this is the same team that manhandled Miami, that made North Carolina look like they didn't belong anywhere in a Power Five. Just a fucking baffling team and a fun team to watch. Definitely, I expect what with Colorado and Penn State having such transcendent seasons, Justin Fuente is not really going to be in the talk for National Coach of the Year or something. But what Virginia Tech did this season was pretty damn impressive, considering this is a team that for the last, 3 years was really just like, oh, let's just beat Virginia so we can keep our bowl streak alive.
Yeah, that with new systems, like new offense, which, by the way, did not exactly play to the, like, play the strengths on paper of its personnel that they had on hand, right? A new coach, new systems, and also, by the way, Bud Foster having to deal with this because Bud's used to coaching with a guy who was going to say, hey, listen, we'll protect your defense. And Fuente's like, yo, good luck. Get some turnovers. we're gonna hurry up and wing this thing down the field. Let's go. Yeah, and they made it work. This was, like, if you're looking for fun stories and fun seasons that, yeah, do have some inexplicable turnarounds and reverses in there, yeah, Virginia Tech. This is one of the more fun teams to watch week in and week out. No, not perfect, but real good and completely intense. Like a very intense, very fun team that made, when they made mistakes, they made them big, and when they did good things, they did real big good things.
I do want to go back in time a little bit to talk about the Pac-12 championship game again.
Oh, sure.
Great job on you continually for putting this game on Friday, Pac-12, when people are like, wait, what? We're doing, huh? That said, that means a lot of people didn't see Jake Browning's final stat line, and whoo, it's not great. It's not great. 9-24 for 118 yards. Does have 2 touchdowns. Didn't throw any picks. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go way out on this limb and say, if he does that against Alabama, Washington is not going to win.
That's a hot take, but I'm wearing oven mitts, so bring it on over here. I can handle it.
Is Jason dead?
yep. I was distracted by, so Brett Bielema.
Wait, oh, okay, hold on. Please tell me. Wait. Stop. Spencer, we're each going to guess what Jason's going to tell us. I'm going to say
guess what Burt did. Let's play guess what Burt did.
I want to go all in. Brett Bielema's taking the Oregon job. Spencer, what do you got?
I'm going to say that Brett Bielema, I'm going to go real mundane, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to say that Brett Bielema believes Penn State should be in the playoff.
Instead of who? Ohio State?
Instead of Ohio State.
Okay. Yeah. Jason, reveal the Brett Bielema truth.
Wow, that's a good guess by Spencer, because if Burt was still if Arkansas was like 10-2, that's when Burt walks tall and he gets antagonistic, and we know he kind of has a long beef with Urban Meyer. I could see that. And as much as Oregon definitely would feel that Burt fits with their whole sleek modern image, unfortunately, it's not a fit at this time.
Okay.
So Burt on the coach's poll inadvertently omitted Virginia Tech, which is Arkansas's Belk Bowl opponent. And Arkansas has released a statement that their communications director inadvertently left after Burt specifically said during the ACC championship that he wanted to move Virginia Tech up into his top 15. So now there's a scandal, and Arkansas is issuing statements about the coaches poll, which I don't even know who looks at the coaches poll.
Just me, like, I think it's just us media members grinding content, right?
I mean, we put it up every week just so there are numbers alongside the AP poll, just so you can say, oh, actually, the AP poll isn't all that bad. But, like, man, the coaches poll is the result. It caused a diplomatic incident. That's amazing.
Well, I'm disappointed that Brett didn't just steer into it and be like, yeah, that's how confident I am that we're, I'm already penciling in that loss for him.
Well, and be like, after we get done with them, they won't be in the top 25 anyway.
Coach, you didn't know that you'd be, yeah, we had a good guess. You know, we build things here at Arkansas to predict what our opponent's going to do, and that includes the bowl structure. And we knew it was going to be Virginia Tech, and we know we're going to be.
I use the force.
I was going to say the notion of somebody at somebody from Arkansas having an issue with geography and leaving an entire state's representative out, not the most shocking.
Aww.
It's a big country. It's hard to remember all of them. I know, but yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. Again, how many coaches out of we at 128 this year? How many coaches?
If you count Jim Grobe, yeah.
Man, it's hard to count Jim Grobe.
Did he submit a ballot?
I doubt it. I have. Let's see. I mean, we could check. It wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, you need to look at that ballot. You need to look at that ballot. How many?
It just sort of spells out.
Jim Grobe has instant mashed potatoes. One. He's got A1 sauce too. Jim Grobe submitted his shopping list, guys.
Yep. Jim Grobe did not participate this year. Also, he didn't submit a coach's ballot.
Yeah, you know, you'd have to be a coach to do that. And that would be... here's the other thing. Number of commits. We can just keep saying this over and over again. Number of commits in Baylor's current recruiting class.
One special young man.
I really hope Jim Grobe gets a big book deal to write a tell-all about his year at Baylor. And then he's like, yeah, actually, I was just, I was just home watching movies most of the time. Didn't go into the office much. They let me telecommute. So it's a pretty cush gig. Couldn't really tell you what the guys were up to.
I mean, Jurgen Klinsmann actually did that. he actually coached via telecommuting, in case you wonder. What happened to the United States men's national soccer team under Jurgen Klinsmann? Well, a lot of things, son. One of them being that, yeah, they let the coach telecommute for a little bit. Not forever, but, long enough so that you'd go, that doesn't seem really sort of advised. It seems ill-advised, frankly. Yeah. The other thing about the Pac-12 championship game, in another big game, Sefa Lufau, the People's Heisman, I'm not saying he should win the Heisman. He should definitely win the People's Heisman. Got injured again.
So who are recent People's Heisman winners?
Recent People's Heisman winners. Dr. Bo.
Dr. Bo Wallace. Okay. 100%.
Yeah, he's definitely a People's Heisman winner.
Dalvin Cook was People's Heisman last year, right?
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. Okay. I get it.
You could have gone with or Deshaun Watson. Either one, man.
Sure. I guess we're kind of, might if it's not Sefa, we're probably giving Pitt the team, just the whole team.
Pitt, James Conner.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You beat cancer and you come back to have a great year. Yeah, you get the People's Heisman for that, right? Past People's Heisman winners, Woody Dantzler. Woody Dantzler of Clemson, many, many moons ago, would have been a People's Heisman winner. Players who are productive. Players who are great, players who you're probably not going to the pros.
Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, was going to the pros, but I'd give him the People's Heisman. And there we got you in, Pitt. You're welcome.
I feel like it has to one up the actual Heisman as far as NFL non-viability.
Oh,
the actual Heisman, it's like, he'll be an NFL bust. First of all, who gives a shit? He'll make millions and he won't be a college football player anymore. So win-win for him. But the People's Heisman, I think we're talking about no. We know years in advance this dude is probably not going to be anything in the pros.
Timmy Chang, come on down.
Oh, yeah, man.
Now
there we go. Colt Brennan. Yeah. People's Heisman choice right there. But this yeah, that's that Sefa Lufau got injured again. And that's the greatest tragedy for me is Sefa Lufau getting injured because it means Colorado's going to have problems. They're going to have serious problems on offense, which they did because they had to put a freshman in. And guess what he did? He threw a couple of really crippling picks because that's what freshmen do. They're real good at it. And it doesn't, shouldn't, like, that whole thing should not sour what is an otherwise phenomenal season for Colorado. Like, again, we talk about, like, Virginia Tech being a really cool story this year. Yeah, they were used to success. Colorado's an even cooler story because did not have the money, will, or coordination to have the right kind of chairs in their meeting rooms as recently as, like, 5 years ago.
That's true. Spencer's not making that up. We don't lie on this program. That was an actual thing you can look up.
Yeah, yeah. Embry, their previous coach, talking about how when he got there, they did not have enough chairs to have an offensive line meeting.
And he had to buy bottled water for meetings. School just didn't have bottled water.
Yeah. And from that to the Pac-12 championship game, it's unreal. It's absolutely unreal. So yay, we get to mention how awesome Colorado's season was again. This podcast is already a success. Do we miss anything else in the championship round?
Western Michigan finished the season undefeated and didn't mean a goddamn thing. So there's that.
They get to go to the Cotton Bowl.
That's true. They get to play Wisconsin in the Cotton Bowl.
They get to play yet another Big Ten West team.
Just the fact that they couldn't even crack the top 10. Granted, they're not the best Big Ten teams in the world, but they did play and beat two of them. And other than that, they won a pretty solid conference. I don't think it's the best Group of Five conference, but it's not terribly shabby. And they're just
it's got Toledo in it.
Okay, fair point.
It's a bad year for the MAC.
It's not a great year for the MAC.
Hurt WMU a lot. I mean, CMU getting that totally legit win at Oklahoma State that was for free of controversy, that boosted the MAC a little bit.
Win.
But other than that, not a very good year for the MAC.
It's not a great year. I don't know. I feel like the playoff is like telling us pretty early, hey, man, you got Group of Five aspirations getting a team in here? Uh-uh. Just back the fuck up. It's not happening.
Yeah, I don't know, because Houston. I mean, if Houston had managed to finish 13-0, I think Houston would be in.
Let's recall how many games Houston lost, though.
Several.
Yeah.
Several. So here's the path. Here's the path. I'm going to lay it out for you.
Okay.
Group of Five teams. Don't lose several games. Beat Oklahoma and beat Louisville. Simple.
Yeah.
You know what? Also,
play in a conference that's just a step shy of the SEC East at most.
Here is what would have done in Houston. Undefeated Houston, here's what would have done them in. Kentucky beat Louisville. So everybody would have said, well, how much can it mean?
Yeah. Man, did Kentucky beat Louisville? That still happened.
That's a real thing that happened.
I'm still not ready for that.
Never forget that Louisville lost to Kentucky.
Yeah. Best, like literally, like I am tonight. I'm not going to say, because I'm not supposed to say who I am casting my ballot for. And the Heisman.
Total coincidence that we're talking about this game. Yep. And
I'm certainly not saying it now, but the person that I believe to be the best college football player in the nation,
Mark Stoops,
ends up winning that game over Lamar Jackson. That was opaque enough. I think I'm good.
No, I think because you could have been talking about any of Kentucky's opponents, mm-hmm. So you're probably talking about like a Florida or Tennessee or Georgia offensive player.
Sure.
So you're good.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about Luke Del Rio, astonishing Luke Del Rio. That's what I was talking about. Like someday I'll forget any of this happened, right? Someday I'll forget any of this happened.
Probably not,
no. The other thing from championship weekend, though it was not a championship, it is a title. I'm going to call him Senator Holgerson because West Virginia gets to 10 wins with a win over Baylor. Not like Baylor matters in anything anymore. Let's not go that far. But this did get Dana a contract extension. And we are now getting dangerously close to one of my favorite new developments in college football. That is, Dana Holgerson is getting very close to elder statesman status in the Big 12. He's getting close, dog. he's going to be in a position of being the mentor very soon.
Is like Bill Snyder going to try and pass the torch to Holgo, and Holgo looks up like,
What do I do with this?
This is a weird vape.
Yeah, he sends him a note, and he sends him a handwritten note in purple ink, and he's like, I don't remember this girl. They like to write in colors and stuff.
I don't look at the mail. It's usually a bill.
Oh, God. I love how your Dana gets lower and lower. It's magnificent.
Well, with each win, it gets lower. If he rings up this ball win,
we'll be in Randy Savage territory. But yeah, Dana gets that contract extension. Living dangerously at West Virginia year in and year out, because there is no way to coach at West Virginia other than dangerously, because yeah, they'll fire you for like almost any reason. It's weird. But still standing and gradually rising to prominence as one of the longest tenured coaches in the Big 12. I cannot wait. It'll be fantastic. Kid, let me show you the ropes. Here's how you can avoid tipping the valets here in the Kansas City Ramada that I stay at. You know, you could afford better, could I?
You don't know me.
Could you?
Yeah. Don't think you know another man's wallet. All right. That, and I would like to at least look forward a little bit. Now, if you do not know on this,
yeah, because we're not going to slog through enough of these, you idiot.
Oh God!
But no. We're just going to look. All right, we're going to do 40 for 40.
Why? You know the bowls start in less than 2 weeks. I always get to this and I'm like, oh, 40 for 40. We've got all this time. We'll sort of space it out. No, we're going to rush through this shit and it's going to be a fucking shit show.
At least one of them will not post until kickoff.
It might post as
correct.
We think someone will listen to it during the game. somebody will. God bless that person.
Yeah, somebody will, and they're awesome. We really appreciate those 11 listens. But we do 40 for 40, where we attempt to do 40 podcasts. Now, I Ryan, please remind everyone, are all of these podcasts, 30 minutes?
They are the appropriate length that the bowl and the matchup and our particular whims and whoever we have on the podcast that week merit. So, yeah, we could go 30 minutes on a bowl game. We could go a minute and 30 seconds. It's kind of a crapshoot. And I can assure you that almost no planning goes into it whatsoever.
Did we do one for Notre Dame's bowl game last year that was just like 14 seconds?
No, I think that was the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. That one ends up being like 43 seconds or something, because Notre Dame was playing Ohio State last year. So
Notre Dame was in a bowl last year? I didn't know what that would be like.
It was a weird time. I mean, you know, these teams, they get a few lucky breaks. They have a season for the ages, and then they fade back. Everything settles out.
That must have been pretty cool for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. I don't know what to tell you.
Every year has its dream team, I guess.
Yeah, but we will be doing 40 of them, and for every single bowl game. I don't want to infringe too much on the unique, unreplicable, and extremely valuable content we'll pass on there. Nope. I don't want to do that. But I do want to peek a little bit if we can. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Now, this can include the playoff, all right, if you would like. But I would like to look ahead and go, because I assure you, one of those two-minute podcasts is going to be Iowa, Florida, and the Outback. We're just going to – no. No is the answer.
No. How about this?
Can this be it? Can we
yeah, –
this is
just
our Outback?
Cut this audio out and, like, loop it, and that's it.
just sample it.
Yeah.
Yo, this is that new Donald Glover album.
You know what? I'll drop the speed way down. When you listen to the Chipmunks 45, but you listen to it on the bigger record player, just Christmas, punt the ball like that.
No, seriously, just that's it.
Okay,
it's perfect.
Take that exact piece of audio, run it like 20 times.
I do want to say one thing about the Outback Bowl, though. I think it's fucking cruel that they assign coconut shrimp to the landlocked state.
Yeah, that's horseshit.
Especially because, like, come on, man. You know a Midwesterner wants to eat that bloomin' onion so bad.
Batter. It's delicious batter.
Why are you making Iowa fans root against their team because they want that Bloomin' Onion so bad?
Another thing, looking at the playoff and looking sort of at the initial matchups, it is what we feared in terms of who's going to play Bama? Because really, when picking the worst possible matchup for Bama out of this group in terms of you, the viewer, wanting to pay attention, that'd be Alabama playing Washington in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah. I don't picture Washington's offensive line getting a whole lot done.
Yeah, and Washington's defense was very good this year. They are a little dinged up, lost some key contributors, so... Washington's in the playoff, which is a thing we probably wouldn't have said 3 years ago. So there's that.
There's that. We can be happy. Is that the word? Happy about that?
Yeah,
sure.
I guess.
I mean,
hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't, and I know what everyone says. What everyone is saying is this: they're going, "Oh man, you know, you give Chris Peterson all that time to prepare. That's cool." I bet the game plan is going to be brilliant, man. It's not going to be like Florida's. You know, Florida played Alabama, and we had like 12 good ideas.
We blew through all of them. Used them all on the first drive.
Yeah, used all of them on the first drive. It's kind of a pattern. Florida really only has they like to just get all the good ideas out of the way.
Florida should just start scripting the whole game. Fuck the first 20 plays or whatever. Just be like, here we go. We scripted 100 just in case. Just run all these.
It really builds to a satisfying, conclusion.
Crescendo.
We're only going to have 65 snaps in this game. We're not. God damn it. My masterpiece is spoiled.
I like that you're making the why don't you make the whole airplane out of black box argument, basically, right? Like, script the whole game.
In this case, it's fine. The airplane can't fucking fly anyway, so whatever. We're talking about Washington. 12-1 Washington, 8-1 in conference. I hope they can at least make it interesting for a half, because I really just don't need a bunch of fucking Alabama and SEC fans generally talking about, oh, here we go, Pac-12 bullshit conference, not ready to play with the big boys. I eat 2 Cracker Barrel breakfasts every day because you never know when coach is going to call me up, man.
Yeah, I don't need this. Child support is tyranny. Yeah, I don't need this. No, I'm sorry. None of them think that. That was unfair. I don't know why I impugn the fine and civilized fan base of Alabama with such savage opinions. I have no actual real basis for doing that. I don't want to watch it. Yeah, Alabama fans are tired of this too. They don't. You know, life's about peaks and valleys. And if it's all mountains, it's all peaks.
They don't seem tired of it.
You know,
I guess you're peering beneath the surface and you're gazing into their souls and you're divining deep anguish that is just not at all apparent.
I'm really tired of them having anything to be happy about, really, because if we take this from them, it's a pretty short list, man. It's like that horny governor and
extremely horny governor, let's be clear.
Alabama has the horniest governor. It's amazing.
It sounds like something you see on a damn road sign.
And our next attorney general, so all right. So other than Chris Peterson, give Chris Peterson a month and who knows, what is the one storyline from either of the playoff games that you're already fucking sick of and just don't want to hear any more about?
I don't think there's anything in these two teams other than just the onset dread of someone having to play Alabama really jumps out to that level. I think these are two great matchups and all that.
Yeah, in terms of actually the Clemson Ohio State matchup, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but we're gonna talk about that Orange Bowl so much, and I just am like, it feels like it doesn't matter at all, but I know it's just gonna get trotted out to be like, hey, you know, We've seen what happens when these two teams collide before, and one team just can't put the ball on the ground like they're supposed to. It's just no, I don't. I mean, granted, JT Barrett should not get to throw in a lot of passes because that hasn't gone great.
In that case, we'll also look at a previous Bama Washington matchup, the 1920 whatever Rose Bowl, mm-hmm, when Bama was the first team to ever put on for the South, and had never shut up about it ever since.
Oh, so Washington comes into Atlanta for revenge.
Yeah, Washington's back to. I mean, it's funny how things, you know, change over the course of 90 years. Like back then, it was no one from the South could play football, you know, and now every Bama fan's going to say the same thing about a team from the Pacific Northwest, which is not the region. It's Washington's still a young team, still in year three of a new system and all that.
If Bama,
and
if
they're
Bama
never
going to
have a roster entirely composed of five stars, but those tables are turned.
Whatever. If Bama had any fucking pride, they'd schedule Pencil Voltron. They would. They'd just put them on the schedule right now.
I don't know about that region not making a difference, Jason. I just want to point to this, that the high minimum wage of Seattle combined with the enormous fish consumption is obviously poisoning the brains of everyone involved and making them soft, making them unlikely to commit the kind of complete violence and commitment to process.
I mean, you look at the state density rankings, right? Alabama is just it's first or second in density.
They need a little less kombucha and a little more kornbucha.
Washington, hell, they're like 45th in personal density. Are you talking about the obesity rankings? Density,
strength.
It's called the might rankings.
It's called melee armor, actually, is what I refer to it as.
you gotta have a thick skin.
It's a carapace of sorts. I can.
You gotta have
it.
A very. You know, if I want to lose it, I can. They got doctors for that. You know, but Washington. It's just there's far too much clean living. There's no stress on the immune system or the body to really test it. You know, it's survival.
You know how I know Washington's not real football as a state? Because Pete Carroll doesn't have to cheat to win there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. Now you're going to say, doesn't he play in the NFL? I'm going to ask you the question. Does Bama? I mean, we really talking about the same thing anymore? Are we really even talking about the same thing? I don't think so. You and I can disagree on these things, but I'm right. You know, I think environment matters, right? You want to talk about raising a beast? You know, you got to put him in a cage. And
now,
really,
to be clear, not the environment though. Global warming is a myth.
The environment's a lie. It's not real. Never go outside other than Bryant Denny Stadium.
That's hey, listen. That's what. Bryant Denny Stadium, it's a containment area. It's dangerous to be loose, willy-nilly. There's temptations out there.
Global warming is just the Earth saying it rejects Big Ten winter football. That's all. The Earth is an SEC fan.
Climate change is just a satellite camp, if you ask me.
Oh, and remember, you know what? What people say nothing good happens with climate change. I disagree because one of the first things that happens, what is it? Rising
tides.
The
tide rolls in, takes out Miami.
The tide destroys Florida again.